Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome back. Hour two. It's a Friday live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Alex Curry is joining us. I'm very excited. We're 100 days out from the World Cup. And, when I was a kid, I went to England. My mom took the family to England.
Okay.
And Johan Cruyff was a big deal. This was a long time ago. And Holland, great player. I don't know if it was a World Cup year, but there was my family back there, all in on soccer. They gave me a board game soccer. And then I lived in the Pacific Northwest, where I grew up with the Sounders. I'm no expert at soccer, but I love the World Cup, and I love the United States men's and women's national teams. So, it's just one of those things where I can turn some things on and off.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you ever go to a concert, and you're somebody who, you're married to a musician.
Yeah.
But if I don't go to concerts all the time, maybe once a year.
Okay.
But when I go to a concert, I literally switch my mind to tonight I'm going to do things that I wouldn't do the rest of the night or the rest of the year.
Okay.
Like if you go to a weekend music festival, I'm going to be a little looser than I would be the rest of the year.
Vacation, Colin.
Yeah. Ish. And I kind of feel that with soccer. Like I'll just flip a switch. I will be so into soccer for 3 weeks. And you can be a cynic and that's fine, but Stu Holden in a couple of minutes. I want to start this hour with this. I talked about this yesterday on the show, that if you, in the LIV Golf Tour, any time in life that you are a disruptor or you take a strong stance on something, a strong action, you have to be prepared for the reaction. So when the golfers from the PGA Tour join the LIV Tour, I support that, and I still do. Our government has a relationship with Saudi Arabia, in my opinion, way too cozy. But it's a toxic region. We feel we need an ally in that region. So there it is. We just signed a new deal with them that is nobody talks about, yet we're outraged with golfers. But I will also defend the PGA and traditionalists in golf with this. They have a right to react to defend their turf and their business to those who disrupted it. And so I tell people this all the time. When I left ESPN, and I had a great 10-year run, 10, 11-year run, great people, right? But when I told them I was going to go to Fox, their rival, this is something I had planned for 6 months. What are they going to do? They wouldn't let me, they still don't, let me bring ESPN people on Fox. Now, we have great people here, so I don't need to. But as I was building up my guest list for the first 18 months at Fox, it was difficult. But I had planned for it. I knew my strong move would get a strong reaction from their management. So they shut off anybody who was there. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It's business. I get it. But I was prepared for it. I was building up every day after work, trying to build up our guest list. And thank God we had a lot of people here and still do that can talk and know sports. So strong reaction or action, get ready for a reaction. So one of the things the NFL has a huge advantage in the Deshaun Watson situation is the NFL is saying, we're going to suspend you for a year and fine you $20 million. It's a strong action. That's like unprecedented. There's no pushback. There is no support group for creepy men. Armie Hammer in Hollywood was a star. He now sells timeshares. Trevor Bauer, 2 years baseball out. Nobody cares. So they can do, the leverage here is all the NFL. Go Google how many times the NFLPA has sued the NFL and won. Let's start with zero. The weakest, by far, the weakest union in all of pro sports is the players' union in the NFL. I mean, baseball umpires arguably have a stronger union than NFL players. NFL coaches have a better union, a better pension than NFL players. So the bottom line here is Roger Goodell, what's the pushback? The media is on Roger Goodell's side. And anti-creepy men. 30 masseuses is creepy. And by the way, the other owners, they don't like Haslam because they guaranteed a contract. They rewarded creepy behavior. So NFL owners are on Roger Goodell. So Roger Goodell's in a rare situation. He can come in an incredibly harsh, punitive sentence. What the reaction is, the NFLPA sues. So what? You're not going to win. So it is a rare. There is no value in Goodell going light on this. Go as harsh as possible. Protect your brand. This is now moved into not only bad behavior being rewarded, but Roger Goodell has to protect his league, its reputation, himself, his legacy, other owners. What is the repercussion for coming in and even in some eyes over punishing? The media is 95% in Goodell's corner. Could be 100. I've yet to see anybody push back in the media, any reasonable person. So what you're seeing is Roger Goodell saying, we're going to take the strongest action possible. You bring your best reaction. And I think it's a 60-mile-an-hour fastball. There's nothing Cleveland has. In fact, Cleveland yesterday, did you see what happened yesterday? 6 games we won't move. Yesterday to Deshaun Watson, okay, 8, and I'll give you $5 million. I'd go to 12 and offer $20 million. I think that's where you have to go to even get Goodell to pick the phone up. Why would he need to? Scott, what's the repercussion? What's the pushback? Not a lot of it. All right, now let's talk about something far more joyful. 100 days out. He's my friend, Fox Sports soccer analyst, former United States men's team's middle fielder, Stu Holden is joining us. I love when Stu Holden comes on my show. All right, so I was saying that this is my concern. So I think this is the most skilled team we've ever had. It is the youngest United States men's national team. I think there's value to youth. They don't have any negative vibes from previous failures. You don't know what you don't know when you're young. You can be reckless, but also hyper-aggressive. You don't have legacies to protect. I mean, these guys, they're all like 21, 22, 23. Generationally, they all like the same music. They all use the same devices. This has the potential to be an incredibly close-knit team. So that's my positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does. This team, you think about it, and if you go all the way back to the failure to qualify for the World Cup 2018, the lowest moment in U.S. soccer history, from those ashes has come this group of players with almost that feeling that of responsibility of, hey, we need to get this program back to where it was.
We're starting over.
Absolutely. And forming their own identity along the way. And then you think about within that, there was going to be players from those past failures, the Jozy Altidores, Michael Bradleys, that might have been a part of this cycle. COVID came along, no games for a year for the national team. And all of a sudden, Greg Berhalter's got this dilemma of, what do I do here? Do I still have some of these 30, 32-year-olds, or do I just roll the dice and trust this young group and let them figure it out? And that's what they did. Now, it wasn't perfect. They finished third in qualifying. They didn't win the whole group, but they go in to the World Cup with expectations of getting out of this group and leaving their mark on this tournament.
Now, again, soccer fans are very funny. Because
yes, we are. Yeah. Funny is a nice word for us.
So, I say this for years and years, and I think it's a reasonable criticism. They felt ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they kind of created their own cool like vibe, and then when we would be casuals, come in and have opinions, they eat you alive on social, which I think is funny, and I'm here for it. But we talked about this before you came on the air. There is a certain vibe among soccer fans that they're very reluctant for the rest of us to love this team for 3 weeks like they love it all year.
Yes, we stand in the corner in the shadows and we desperately scream and yell, hey, pay attention to us, look at us. And then all of a sudden, the spotlight comes on us and we want to welcome people in. But then as soon as you talk about it and you don't know the specifics about a 4-3-3 and tactical formations and positional changes, we start screaming back at you and saying, you don't know it like we do. I always equate it, and I know Alex will know this very well, with we saw the indie band before they made it big. And then as soon as it went big, well, we scream at you for not knowing the songs that they knew before and how good they were before they made it big. And that's who we are. We eat our own. We want to welcome you into the conversation. Colin, I think you do a wonderful job, even for having soccer as a big part of what you do and your show. And you're pretty open and admit the fact that you don't know the minutia of the game. And that's okay. But we want people like you paying attention to us and loving the sport and the way in which we do. So soccer fans, come on, man.
No, open up the tent. When I watch this team aesthetically, I think Berhalter sees the skill level. He sees the speed. It's a quick team. It's a fast team. We're athletic. We're young. A bit naive. We're not as physical at times as I'd like. Defensively, I have questions. We're a hands country. We've always been good in goal. This is the weakness of the team. I don't love them in goal. But I see that as a value proposition. We are, aesthetically, what I see, way more skilled mm-hmm. than any team in my life. So that's my naive opinion.
Yes, no, and it's a correct opinion because this team and this nation, the way in which we've invested in soccer, Major League Soccer, the development academies, the amount of money that has gone into it, it's taken time to see the benefits of that and the development of these young players. So Greg Berhalter, when he took over early on, boy, did we take some lumps. We played Mexico. We tried to play out of the back. And I remember the game. It was 2019 in Giant Stadium. We got hammered 3-0, just destroyed by our biggest rival. But he was calm. He saw the bigger plan, the bigger scope of what he was trying to do. And this team was skilled, it was young, it was aggressive, and we could play in that way, but we had to get through some of these lumps on the way. I mean, our teams back in 2010, what I think was one of the better teams, we defended deep, we were hardworking, we didn't want to concede goals. This team's like, uh-uh. We are young, we are skilled, we can play aggressive, and we can play in the faces of some of these big countries, and that's a big change for us.
No, this is the thing that jumps out to me. Is that I can tell what a coach thinks of his personnel by the game plan. And I do think that the Clint Dempsey teams were and I think he's the one old school guy this team could use, a bit of a butt kicker. I don't think Weston McKennie, he's got a little bit of an edge to him, but he's not quite. I think we need a Draymond Green. We mm-hmm. need a bouncer in the bar, a tough guy, because I think Pulisic is increasingly getting picked on. People see him as the Gretzky in hockey, and Gretzky needed an ally to defend him. So, but this team, when I watch this team and I watch how Berhalter is hyper-aggressive, willing to concede on the back end, my takeaway is, he trusts his talent.
Mm-hmm.
The stylistically, how we play, soccer fans would get upset when we would play Brazil or a Chile and we were conservative. And my takeaway was, we have to be.
Mm-hmm.
We could play with Italy, mostly a defensive-minded history. We couldn't go with, you know what I mean? So, here's my question. Can we be aggressive against England, perhaps the deepest team they've had in two decades?
So I watched Greg on your show a couple of weeks ago when he came by, and he talked about that game, the England game, and saying, hey, that might be one game we have to play a little bit differently and play a little bit more conservatively and pragmatic. And I would be okay with that. But I also see it as a situation. England's going to come into this tournament. Their last window, they got beat by Hungary at home. They're not looking good. They're searching for answers. They're undoubtedly the favorite in the U.S.'s group.
Really
but
deep.
But I see that game as a group in the World Cup on November 25th, Black Friday. I think a large portion of this country will be interested in watching that game. That's a game that the U.S. could surprise some people. And I would love to see, if the U.S. beat Wales, which I think is the most important game, you have to win your first game in the group. Then you go into England. If you have a win or a point out of that first one, go at those guys. You know, let the young guys go. They're fearless. And I think they like to play that way, with the handbrake off a little bit, but still with some smarts and some savvy and understanding this is a World Cup, this is a tournament, so don't just blow it out and, you know, concede two or three goals early. But I want this young team to play aggressive, because why? That's who they are. That's their identity. And the best coaches get the best out of the players that they have, and that's who those players are.
In the NBA, it used to be you hated your rivals. MJ hated Isaiah. He hated the Pistons. He hated Bird. Generationally, they've all got the same agents. They all make money. They're not sharing a small pie. So NBA guys now, they're all boys. They all get along. That's okay. Here's my concern about this team. There is no older player. Now, Weston McKinney's got a chip.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if it was bigger. I worry that they're all buddies. They're, again, same music, same likes. At 23 years old, the generation I want, my generation, I battle my rivals. Are we too nice? Does this team have an edge?
This team has an edge, but I would say this team does not have a outright leader. And Greg Berhalter,
Pulisic's the best player.
Yes, he's the best player, but he's not the guy that is going to, in moments he has. I don't know if you remember the Panama game. I know you're watching it in qualifying.
Yeah.
He scored a hat trick. He was playing with that like look in his eye that was, nothing is going to stop me today. I don't know what they need to do. If we can harness that for him, he's unstoppable. But Greg Berhalter has rotated who's the captain of each game. You've had Tyler Adams, you've had Pulisic, you've had McKennie. And I think that's still trying to figure out, hey, who's my guy that everybody in a tough game, and I've been in these games as a player, and you're kind of looking around and you're looking for somebody to look you in the eye, the Draymond Green, that say, hey, you know what? This game right now, it needs me to go and just smash somebody.
That's right.
It needs me to go and make a play.
That was a Dempsey role.
That was a Dempsey role, 100%. It was a Bocanegra. You know, we had Tim Howard in goal, a guy that you knew would come up with a big save if you needed it. I've yet to see that really emerge through qualifying. And it speaks for the fact that the biggest questions about our team and our starting 11 going into the World Cup, goalkeeper, Zach Steffen or Turner, I don't know. Center backs, we're going to have questions, Zimmerman plus who, I don't know. And forward, we don't know who our center forward's going to be at this point. It's probably going to be Ferreira. But outside of that, I mean, your midfield's as steel cast. You can write that in right now, who's going to start in the first game against Wales. But outside of that, I think we're still searching for some answers.
Ferreira's an interesting player. I feel like I know what I'm going to kind of get from. I don't like the situation at goal. I'd go Turner. Don't love it. But again, we've been so great at that for years, and it didn't pay off. In the end, yeah, you got to score goals.
Yeah.
Nobody's shutting down England. They're going to score. So my takeaway is, we're not great at it. Can we be competent? I think the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Walker, Zimmerman in the back, Long in the back. We'll be okay. But I think we're better up front. My question is, what does he need to be? Ferreira, what does he have to be? Because I know what I get from Pulisic. Yeah. I don't know what I get from him.
So I would say the question about Ferreira is an interesting one, because you could say, who's the most important player to the U.S. having some success? I could name Pulisic. I could name McKennie. I could name Tyler Adams. But Ferreira, and it doesn't just have to be goals with him. This was a game where he actually scored 4 goals in a match against Grenada. But the job of the center forward in Greg Berhalter's system, and this is why you have to trust Greg Berhalter that he's doing the best that he thinks for the team with the personnel he's got. That position, oftentimes you drop a little bit deeper. You try to bring defenders with you to open up space in behind for Pulisic, for Aronson, for Tim Weah. So it doesn't always have to be about the goals in the system that we play. France won the World Cup in 2018. Do you know how many goals their striker, Olivier Giroud, scored in that tournament? 0. Not a single goal from the number 9 position. So I know we scream and yell and we think, hey, strikers have to score goals. They can do a lot if you have the pieces around that can produce. Our most talented players, as you know, are in the wide areas. We have depth beyond belief. We can rotate Gio Reyna and Pulisic and Aronson, all these guys. The number 9 position, though, you have to be effective, either scoring goals or holding up the ball, linking up play.
That's
and
right.
That's why Ferreira's in the lineup. Not because I think Greg thinks this guy's going to score 6 goals.
Yeah, I don't think the team's complete yet. They can tweak it up until, like,
Yeah, up until the very end. I'm 26 this time as well, the roster.
I don't think it's done yet.
No, I mean, September, we're going to find out. We got two games left. The last two games you're going to see the U.S. We have the game against Saudi Arabia, which will be
Japan,
their last game.
And Saudi Arabia, yep. Last two friendlies.
And you're going to get a look. I think you might see this guy, Vasquez, who scored 14 goals in MLS. Striker is the position. If you're red hot and you got that hot hand, you might work your way into the roster.
Okay, it really is amazing. So you got Pulisic's 23, played Chelsea. You got McKennie's 23, Juventus. Sergio Dest, 21. Tyler Adams, 23.
You trying to make me feel old, by the way?
But here, I'll throw this at you. And this, in when we went to Brazil, the conditions were daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an argument to be made. Qatar, it's going to be really warm. And I do think it benefits our youth. We're going to be young, fresher legs. My guess is we're kind of built for these conditions, or am I being too patriotic and jingoistic and optimistic?
You're right. I mean, the one of the interesting things you're going to see in Qatar is these air-controlled, climate-controlled stadiums with these big fans that blow on the field. And it was amazing. During the summer, it was 110 degrees out. They played a game inside the stadium. A player took a selfie with a thermometer, and it showed that the temperature on the field was 65 degrees. Wow. So it's about a 40-degree difference from outside to in. Actually, during the winter, the temperature is going to be about LA's in the 70s. One of, I think, an area where the United States can have a real edge is in sports science. And the fact that we invest a lot of money in that. I went to the U.S. practice in Kansas City, and they call them red hats or red shirts because there was the staff around. There was more staff than players. And I'm talking physiotherapists, sports scientists, and tracking data and the rest and recovery for these guys. This is going to be the first World Cup where teams do not have to travel outside of one single city. So you're going to go to a game, you're going to come back. You're going to go to a practice, you're going to go back. You'll be in the same hotel the entire time. So that means the U.S. is loading up with a game room. They're going to have, you know, all the stuff that these kids, these 20-year-olds want. Yeah. They have Xboxes and PlayStations and rest and recovery centers, hypotheric chambers. I mean, the U.S. is going to throw big money at that to ensure that they can maybe find an edge that other teams don't have when it comes to investment in that stuff. I think that's where we could find an edge.
The World Cup, for the uninitiated here, is a little like two tournaments. You have group stage. Mm-hmm. So our group is England, arguably the best team. I don't think they'll win it. It's England.
They're going to expect to win it.
But I don't think they will. But I think they're really talented. I think they can play with anybody. And then we have Iran and then Wales. Wales is viewed as, you know, the smallest. It's the weakest team. They have one great player, right?
Gareth Bale.
Okay, so my feeling is the World Cup becomes two tournaments. There's group stage. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're the second most talented team. I think we get out of the group stage. Realistic,
and that should be the baseline expectation. Every single World Cup, and I would have said that before, but then we didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Right.
So, you know, Greg Berhalter, again, he was talking to you. He said, we view this as two tournaments. You get through the group stage, it's kind of a slog it out, and you find your way, you manage the three games. You're probably rotating lineups to get the best versus each team. Your first game's the most important. And then I think, Greg, and I would agree, the last game against Iran is also a game you view, we need points out of that one.
Yeah.
England, we go in and we try and run it up, and that's the team that we're going to finish first or second, and it will determine who we get in the second match, which would be us paired with the host group, which is Qatar, Ecuador, and then you have the Netherlands in there as well. And I think Netherlands is the team you would want to avoid out of those, and maybe get Ecuador. Netherlands is I think they're back this year. They didn't qualify for the last World Cup. They were in the final in 2010.
But yeah, it should be noted. We all get anxiety. Last World Cup, who didn't get
Italy? Didn't make it. Netherlands didn't make it.
Think about Italy, how big soccer is. So, by the way, Germany's had downswings.
Two straight World Cups for them. Crazy.
So, this is not, I really do feel like if you're a soccer fan or me, a casual, as I would be called by you indie rockers, that I do believe this is exciting because I feel like there was the Kyle Rote Jr. stage of soccer where we couldn't compete. Guys didn't play internationally. Then there's the Stu Holden, Dempsey, Alexi Lalas. Some of our guys do play internationally, may not star, but they play. Now we're getting guys that go internationally mm-hmm. and are viable scorers.
Stars. Yeah.
Those are the three stages in my life. Now, I think the next World Cup is the one where, and this, I sound so patriotic here. I think we're about 4 years away, just in experience. But I think we get out of the group stage. I think we win a game out of the group stage. And I think we're really viable. That is my hope.
Mm-hmm.
again, how does it land for you? What will you see that will concern you? If you see something early and go, uh-oh, what would it be?
So the game against England is a game where we're going to find out a lot about
this team. Day
after
Thanksgiving.
Yes, the day after Thanksgiving on probably the best lineup of sports television. Sound like a company man now, but that we're going to have the Cowboys Thursday.
That's crazy. That
on,
yeah.
And then Ohio State, Michigan on the Saturday. So, look, I think what I worry about with this team is that they are so young. They're fearless. They don't know what they don't know until they
That's
see
right.
it. And we're going to find out when those bright lights go on and you're on the World Cup and you're the big stage against a Welsh team that is competent. They had a good run at the Euros, not the 2020 version, but the one before that in 2016. And I hope, and I don't believe it is going to be this way, but I hope that I see that look in those eyes, the guys that we belong here and we're not happy to be here and be happy to be back at a World Cup. And we're these young guys and we play at big clubs, but we're not expected to go far. I think this team, when you get to the knockout stages and you get rolling, you pick up some momentum, they have players that play against the best players in the world week in, week out at Barcelona, at Chelsea, at Borussia Dortmund, etc. So we have talented players. As a team, collectively, do they believe in themselves? And do they not make those little fine margin mistakes at the back or at the goalkeeping position where we might have a little bit of inexperience or guys that aren't playing regularly? That's the thing that concerns me a little bit.
Has a team ever won the World Cup with poor goaltending? Has anybody ever been bad in the net? And you don't have to be great.
I'm trying to think here. Now we France had Hugo Lloris. Germany had Manuel Neuer. 2010, Spain, David De Gea, I believe it was, or Iker Casillas. I mean, two. So no,
yeah.
I would say no.
Yeah, I think it is our primary liability. Although I think Turner's capable.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
But the problem is he's at a world class club in Arsenal, but he might not be playing. And Alexi and I were debating this the other day. He actually might benefit from the fact that he's not playing because Zach Steffen is playing and he's not playing well.
Right.
So do you go with the guy who hasn't made mistakes? Probably.
I don't know.
A lot to discuss, huh? It's exciting.
And all you soccer fans out there, you have to just embrace the fact that you saw the indie band before I did. You've memorized. Hey, I'm from Nirvana, grew up 30 miles out of my hometown. I knew of Nirvana before anybody else. I didn't hold it against people. Pearl Jam. I'm a Northwest guy with all the grunge rock. I didn't hold it against people. It's so great seeing you. This is an exciting time.
And 100 days. Crazy to think
about. Here, one more thing. I have defended Greg Berhalter a lot on the internet. Doesn't always go well. Why do you think soccer fans are always... I have a psychology theory on it. It is much easier to blame our coach than our players. Mm-hmm. If you blame players, it's we're not good enough, we're hopeless. If you blame a coach, it's all we have to do is fix the one guy and we're great. If I said to you, Berhalter, what defines him? I think he's aggressive. I think he's a listener. I think by, you know, the John Brooks thing, he can make tough calls. How do you define him?
I would say he's authentic. And by that, I mean... He understands. He's an American coach that has played in a World Cup for the United States. So at the forefront of that, and arguably, well, actually our most successful run in 2002. So he understands what the American player needs. And he's also a guy that's willing and able to adapt.
Yes, he's a good adapter.
Yes, and I think some coaches get so laser focused and the blinders are up about what they think needs to be successful. And he has changed and evolved. He's let some of his core principles go a little bit. He's let the group find their way. And I think that's why he's been a good coach for this group, because he's evaluated the best players that he's got. He's gotten the most out of them, which says a lot as a coach. He's been willing and able to adapt. And ultimately, look, there will always be this Euro bias of, hey, we need to go hire this guy because he's coached in the Premier League and this guy's done this. So, you know, no coach has ever won a World Cup that has not been from that nation.
Wow.
So, you know, you think about all the different coaches going in the past, and we could go and get Pep Guardiola. He would be the first coach from a foreign nation to lead a team to a World Cup.
Great seeing you.
Great to see you, man.
How much fun.
Let's go find those indie bands.
I got one on my Twitter account today, by the way, folks. If you go to my Twitter account today, I found the coolest indie guitar band. Can you call it that, Ryan? It's the coolest thing I've ever had on Twitter.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5, that's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Well, two lucky winners from Texas are splitting Big Poppy's $10,000 jackpot from last night's Field of Dreams game, and you still have a free chance to win another $10,000 tomorrow. So scan the QR code, download the Super 6 app, and enter your six baseball picks for a chance to win.
Home security isn't a game. Trust Simply Safe Home Security. Advanced technology. Get a free indoor camera. And 20% off if you go to SimplySafeCollins, C-O-L-I-N.com. Here's Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Colin, Deshaun Watson is set to make his Browns debut tonight in their preseason opener at the Jaguars. Yeah. Now, while he and the Browns wait on the NFL's appeal of his 6-game suspension for violating the personal conduct policy, in a last-ditch effort to resolve the situation, the Associated Press reports that Watson, quote, would accept an 8-game suspension and is willing to pay a $5 million fine. The report doesn't indicate what the NFL's response will be. But the fact that says a lot about his mindset, that he would accept this punishment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's yet to be a sincere apology or taking responsibility for his actions. I don't think he like he understands the severity of this situation.
Yeah, and
all.
The leverage is totally in the NFL's corner. There is no repercussion for the strongest punishment possible, which is a year minimum. And there's going to be no pushback outside of the NFLPA, which doesn't have a history of beating the NFL in lawsuits. So there, Roger Goodell's got a lot of things to consider. How does this play with other owners? How does it play with TV networks? How does it play with advertisers? How does it play morally? How does it play ethically? What is the precedent for other players who could, you know, there could be actions, bad behaviors going forward? This idea for Cleveland, they just want their player on the field. Now, they just see it through that tunnel. The NFL's got a lot of people to protect from branding to, by the way, paying respect to the victims.
Yep.
50% of NFL fans are women. Many are absolutely outraged. A lot of men are outraged. So there's a lot of value in whether you win or not. The value proposition for the NFL is strongest possible punishment. and there's really no repercussions for it. The media, other owners are on Roger Goodell's side. Remember, the minute they guaranteed this contract, Lamar Jackson, I read a story now, he wants a completely guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. That was never even on the table. Mahomes didn't get fully guaranteed. Joe Montana, Brady, Manning. Lamar is now seeking a fully guaranteed contract. He may get it, probably gets it now. So among owners, nobody is in the Haslam's corner.
No, everyone should be outraged by the situation, the story. If you have a sister, if you have daughters, if you have a mother, I think this is a big loophole. Yeah. If the NFL allows him to step on the field tonight in an NFL uniform, have his highlights be played, have people glorify him being on the field and how good he is being. This is a unique situation, and I believe something should be done before he takes the field. Tonight, hopefully, it does. Moving on. Yesterday, we found out that Tom Brady would be away from Bucs training camp for the next 10 days. And while we don't have details on why exactly he'll be out, we heard from Todd Bowles, GM Jason Licht, and Devin White on it yesterday.
This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp, knowing he wasn't going to play the first two games.
Of course, we're going to let him do what he needs to do. So he's focused as ever. He'll come back in even more focused, and we're not, it's the least of our concerns.
You know, he's a human. At the end of the day, you know, he got personal problems going on, but he's a guy that he's been doing this so long, he don't need to be here. You know, when he come back, he'll never miss a beat, and that's the only important thing, you know. But more than football, you know, we praying for whatever he got going on as a human being, and, you know, we hope everybody else do too. And, I mean, that's all we ask for him is for his well-being. You know, football comes second. You know, him being a human comes first.
Remember, they won a world championship
in
a pandemic with no preseason.
Yeah.
So Tom's going to be fine.
Yeah. Tom is always going to be okay with football. The thing that is not always promised is time. And family, as we know, is always first for Tom Brady, especially at this point in his career. The only thing I think that is concerning at this point is not having his presence there at training camp, especially with the injuries that they've endured and a lot of the wide receivers that are not going to be out on the field right now, losing his center. Besides that, and not having everyone kind of live up to that Tom Brady effect when you have him in the room and you have him on the field, that's the concerning part. Other than that, Tom's going to be fine. Yeah. He's always going to be fine. He is the greatest of all time in that position. Hopefully everything's okay, and hopefully it's not a medical emergency with his family. That's just, at this point, you just hope it's okay, and he comes back in good spirits and happy, and then you can move on. As you mentioned, maybe he even takes some time off in the middle of the season. Yeah. It's Tom Brady. Why not? All right. Well, moving on, a lot of star quarterbacks are sitting out week one of preseason, including Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, and Josh Allen. But don't count Patrick Mahomes as one of them. As Andy Reid announced, all four Chiefs quarterbacks will start a quarter of tomorrow's preseason opener against the Bears. And here's Mahomes on playing in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I like to get in there, and I like to get hit at, like, one time. So once you get hit one time, you kind of see what it is to get hit again as a quarterback. I feel like after that, you're good to go. But it'll be good to get in there with the new group of receivers that we have, all the running backs, and kind of show how we do it in the game. Because obviously we're doing it here at practice, but to show how we do it in the game before that first game against Arizona, who's a great opponent, I think will be good for us.
Yeah, if you want, it's really, you know, for years Brady played in the preseason.
Yeah.
Aaron doesn't want to, but I kind of think it's useless. But if I do think there's a handful of players, like Daniel Jones last night, 13 plays, a field goal against the Patriots second team. I think upstairs there's value. You're seeing what he can't do. I also think if you're a borderline guy, like I don't think the Jets are going to be very good, but I think if Zach Wilson lights it up in the preseason and they don't win games, that helps Zach Wilson's reputation. You can say, you know, maybe it's not Zach Wilson. It's the people coaching Zach Wilson. I think you get wins wherever you can get him as a player. Yeah. And if you need to show off a little in exhibition football games, wherever it is, those are wins. That stuff sticks in people's mind. Dak Prescott won a nation of fans off an exhibition game. I think it was in L.A. at the Coliseum against the Rams. He had a great first half for the Cowboys. And at that point, it had Romo was still, I think, part of the organization. It had huge impact. Cowboy fans saw that as the next chapter off a preseason game. And I remember I was like, folks, it's preseason. It doesn't matter. It did to people in Dallas. It did to Jerry. It did to Stephen Jones. It did the Jason Garrett. It was the bright lights of L.A. So the idea there's no value in preseason, you can win a room off big preseason performances.
And a lot of players need preseason. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is one of them, but he's played in every preseason game minus COVID 2020 when it was canceled. And there's no other way to get in game shape than actually playing a game. Right. And he wants to get hit.
All right, Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
For endless hot water that is easy on the environment, go tankless at tanklessmadesimple.com. It's Navien. So I saw this this morning, that Lamar Jackson contract situation. His mother, Felicia, is his agent, which is different. He is asking for a fully guaranteed deal. This is what was never even really asked for before Deshaun Watson. So, and you know, this is the new world, and I would pay Lamar Jackson pretty much whatever the market bears. It is interesting. Let's say they didn't pay him and he went to the market. you'd have to go get Lamar Jackson, but it would be fascinating. He's a unique player who has to be kind of uniquely coached. That's okay. I think people forget how much he wins. So let's just forget Lamar Jackson. I'm just going to say there's a quarterback. He's a rookie. His franchise is 20-20 in their previous four games. They start him in week 11 as a rookie. He goes 6-1. He's the only difference in the team. He wins 6 of 7 games. The next year, that player is MVP. The next year, he goes 11-5, wins a playoff game. He's 24. And then last year, he's leading the division, is a number 2 seed in the superior AFC, gets hurt, and the season's over. Nobody's ever won this fast this much. This is not baseball where we glamorize history. It is not the NBA where you can be a losing player, but Carmelo's still going to go in the Hall of Fame, Carmelo Anthony. In football, it is winning. That's why Phillip Rivers threw fewer interceptions than Eli Manning, had more passing touchdowns, more passing yards, but he didn't win enough big games. And so Eli's considered a Hall of Famer, and you suggest that with Phillip Rivers and people roll their eyes at you because that's what football's about. Football's about winning games. It's why I'm a fan of Garoppolo. I'm a fan of Kyler Murray. I'm a fan of Lamar Jackson. Too often we're looking for the perfect quarterback. Does Lamar play better with a lead than behind? So does everybody, including Aaron Rodgers. Yes. But I did think he took a big leap. He has 6 fourth quarter comebacks in his career. He had 2 entering last year. So he clearly, as a quarterback, is getting better playing later from behind. I don't think he's Josh Allen. I don't think anybody in the world except Patrick Mahomes looks like Josh Allen. But if you if I just told you there was a quarterback that took over a franchise that was in the middle of a 20-20, 40-game schlog, he stepped in at quarterback, only difference goes 6-1 to MVP, to 11-5 in a playoff win, to leading the division gets hurt. You'd be like, of course you're going to sign him. People want to put everybody in a box, and he's just a different player. He's a unique player who has to be uniquely coordinated. He has more wins before 25 than any player ever. In fact, remember how good Big Ben and the Steelers were in his first few years? He's 8 wins behind him. And the division was worse back then. Lamar's having to beat a Cincinnati team that's legit, a Baker Mayfield Cleveland team that was pretty legit, and Pittsburgh. So the division is better now. So I don't, to me, baseball's about history. NBA can be about glamour. Football's just about winning. Kyler Murray wins. Lamar wins. Jimmy Garoppolo wins. And you can give credit to the Ravens' infrastructure, or Kyler Murray's got great receivers, or Jimmy G, it's the coach. Folks, somebody's got to pull the trigger. Kyle Shanahan's head coaching record in the NFL, he's won 30% of his games that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't start. Now think about that. Kyle Shanahan and that roster, 30% winner without Garoppolo. He's doing something. He's doing something right. So I just think sometimes different is hard for people to put their arms around, to wrap their brains around. And I do think, you know, Lamar is a very unique player that you have to have kind of a unique coordinator. You're going to have to draft for him. But the idea, I've said this, if you watch the games, maybe he's not as beautiful as Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow throwing the ball or Kyler Murray. I don't think he's as bad as everybody says. I think his delivery system is fine. I mean, he kind of flips it. Kyler Murray's got a perfect throwing motion. Justin Herbert could be the logo for the league. Patrick Mahomes goes sideways mechanically every year for about a month and a half. I don't know. You win 75% of your games, I'm in. And remember, that's before 25. He's still a kid. We've seen him make multiple leaps. Couldn't win a playoff game, won a playoff game. Couldn't be good in the fourth, now good in the fourth trailing. We've seen him make leaps. He's going to make another one this year. Hour 3 on a Friday coming up. It's the Herd.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.